Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
All right, it's Monday. Look at that. It's already Monday here on Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so hopefully you've been keeping up over there. You know, if not, swing by and you can catch up anytime you want. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link. Get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. You know, what the heck, you went all the way over there. You might as well like it, right? But don't forget the Twitter feed, which is Sports Time Radio. Dan and I are on Twitter as well if you'd like to hunt us down. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at? Oh, I don't know where you went, but you disappeared, and I could barely hear you.
Dansy Man with 3D. Sorry, my stupid Bluetooth keeps leaving the phone. I don't know why.
Oh, does it not like us? You know, that could be a bad thing. But all right, Dan, well, They did make it official today. The Redskins are going to change their name. Oh, well, look at that. He was having problems with the Bluetooth, and now he is gone. So, hasta la vista, Dan. Yeah, check that out. Well, hopefully he will be back soon, and I will just kind of keep rambling here. But, yeah, like I was saying, the Redskins officially announced that they will be changing their name. They didn't come out with anything official on what they'll be called yet, because apparently they're waiting for the trademark, which, you know, makes total sense. Obviously, you don't want to, you know, you got to make sure you've got all your bases covered there so you can, you know, figure it out. And I know there was a poll and the name Red Tails won. I don't know if that's something they're going to go with or, you know, how things will work out, but. Dan, what would you like to see the Washington team go with now that this is official?
Well, if they choose anything related to DC, it will still be on the lines of racism, right?
I mean, if they were to choose something like the Washington slave owners, that would probably be a bad choice.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think people go over too well, but.
No, I mean, I think, feel like they're stuck in a kind of this weird place with the way today is. I can say, though, you know, getting rid of the name and kind of reading into it a little bit more. You know, one of the complaints by one of a tribal leader was the fact that, you know, it was defined as a racial slur. So, you know, when you compare it to, like, the Blackhawks, which honors the Blackhawks, I mean, you're not even allowed to step on the logo in the locker room. You know what I mean? Like, it's roped off. Like, you know, there's a lot more that goes into it than, oh, it's just the Blackhawks. But, you know, compared to the other teams, I mean, this one, like I said about the Peking China team, you know, last week. So I think this falls in that category. But, you know, it's hard to say. I mean, obviously the Washington Presidents would be stupid. I will say I think we're both surprised, right, that they were able to – they just determined that they're going to move forward with it, you know, this year. So, you know, took you long enough. I mean, he's been, you know, fighting it based off of – what would you say? It's basically off of principle, or not even principle, off of legalities, you know, the copyright and all that crap. So, you know, it's about time that they moved away from it. So, you know, there's that from it. But, I mean, you already got the Nationals, the baseball team. You have the Capitals for hockey. You know, the Wizards. So would they be the Washington Witches to kind of go along with that, or?
You know, they could always go with the Washington Generals, which is the team that loses the Globetrotters every night. I thought that could be kind of funny, you know, if they went like that route.
Well, and I mean,
I don't know if it's there.
Doesn't that go along with their current run?
Well, no, they don't lose to the Globetrotters every night. They lose to the other NFL team. So if they got beat by the Globetrotters, that's a significant story. But, yeah, you know, I mean, you almost wonder if just to be safe, going with a color would be the best way to go about it. But then again, I don't know. You know, I guess they could always go with an animal. You know, they could be the Washington Cobras or the Washington Tigers or, you know, something like that.
Yeah,
and yes, I know
I
it
mean,
makes sense. What I mean. So, I don't know. You know, they'll come up with something. Hopefully, they'll announce it soon. And now it's to just the point where I just want it to go away. You know, I'm done with it. I don't need to talk about it anymore. You know, you know, however you look at it, they got their way. So we're getting rid of, you know, this horribly racist name, and now we can move on to, you know, bigger and better racist issues like how DeSean Jackson still has a job. But apparently it's okay for him. So.
Well, I mean, his running back career is almost over, isn't it?
Yeah, well, wide receiver, but yeah, same thing.
Oh, yeah, wide receiver.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to figure he's kind of at the end of the rope. I'm guessing he's on his last contract there with the Eagles, and unless something really auspicious happens, I don't know, I just think it's kind of odd. I saw something today that apparently he's been invited to visit Auschwitz. So I
okay, that makes absolutely no sense, only based on what's going on in the world today. So that makes complete and total sense for any person, let alone someone from you know, the Philadelphia Eagles, who's set to be playing, or, well, you know, how practice or whatever that crap goes in the next couple of months, would not only accept but take a trip overseas to another country. You know what I mean? That's just, it's pretty dumb. You know, one of the things that can go in line to what he said, and I'm surprised he didn't use this, or, you know, his agents, attorneys, you know, the whole nine, was the fact that the Eagles owner, is it their owner? I believe it's the owner, someone in the organization, obviously been listening to LeBron, because this guy started a production company and filmed a Hitler documentary that's supposed to be coming out, as if we haven't seen enough of those. You know, World War II is a huge interest for me to begin with, so I'll probably check it out. I've followed a lot on it. I think it goes back to when I was 12 years old and found my, well, let's just say I found some articles from that war that I shouldn't have. And my dad said I can have them when he's dead. But, you know, that's beside the point. So it's a very interesting topic to me, but it's just interesting to see that a guy like that would, first project would be a Hitler documentary.
Or the Eagles owner is Jewish. He's of the Jewish faith.
Oh, okay.
It would be kind of interesting to see their point of view on a Hitler documentary and how they're going to kind of go about it.
I mean, well, if you want my truth is, if I would love to see a documentary from these people who believe that it never happened, because I would like to know what world they live in. But, you know, that was my point, is I didn't see why DeSean Jackson didn't follow up and reach out and use, like, oh, my own stupidity, I wasn't paying attention, and I pulled something from, you know, the owner, and he let me do this and that.
He did do that in a way, though. You didn't see his quote here? He's quoted as saying, I grew up in Los Angeles and never really spent time with anyone from the Jewish community, and I didn't know much about their history. This has been such a powerful experience for me to learn and educate myself, is what he went with.
Yeah, and I get that, but, you know, I don't know. Whoever's on his team, and I'm not going to put 100% blame on him, but, you know, whoever's on his team, publicist, agent, you know, that whole nine, you know how that goes. These guys aren't just, you know, it's not just Deshaun Jackson out there by himself. Yeah, he can make a bad post here and there, but who the hell is in his team? That's not, you know, what do we call this? Triaging, fielding this, you know, behind him, being his mouth or, you know, his hand while he speaks. That's where I'm kind of lost, because you've got everything set up to where he could turn it into his favor. And, you know, I think it's one of those situations where that's great, you know, but at the same time, I don't know. You stick your foot in your mouth, and then what's the next thing? You know, the public says, oh, well, you got to reach out and do work with the blah, blah, blah community, and then that'll save you. You know, we see this all the time. We hear this all the time. Like, when does it become the point where, is it really sincere? Do you really mean what you're saying? You know, and not only that is, if you're going to quote him, you know, maybe you should start checking your quotes. Or, you know, why didn't he just say, oh, I saw this somewhere on, you know, Reddit or Twitter, and I just copied and posted it like every other, I would say American, but let's be honest, every person in the entire world who does nothing better than just tweet out or repost inspirational crap that they have no clue where the source comes from, or even if it's real. You know what I mean? So I think there's a lot more that goes behind it. I think he made a dumbass mistake, but I'm sorry, but I don't have a whole lot of experience, or what is the word I'm looking for, you know, with the Jewish community. But just because I have one guy that I know, two guys that I know are Jewish and I hung out with, you know, 10 years ago, even if I didn't meet them, didn't know anything about them, had never met a Jewish person in my life, guess what, Big Jack? I still would know about World War II and what the hell happened to them.
Yeah, you know, it is kind of odd that, you know, that he, you know, didn't know this, or, you know, and I, you know, I guess what makes it even more confusing is obviously he's a professional athlete, so he went to college. You know, obviously he didn't take history, is what my guess is. His major isn't in history, it wasn't in history. So I'm, you know, kind of gonna go out on a limb there and say that I'm just not, you know, not sure about that one. So we'll see.
I know, but, you know, and here again is just plain stupidity, ignorance. Use whatever term you want to put in it. But come on now, you know, I'm gonna sit here. I'm gonna tell you every time that we talk about our education system. You know, number one, the federal government needs to get their hands out of the educational system. And how it's conducted and run. But at the same point, because they don't teach history, but they don't want you to know history, because they don't want you to know that the exact election that's going to happen, the whole campaign, down, you know, from the commentary, you know, the platforms that each side takes has not changed in the last 75 years. It's the same BS every single presidential election, every time. You go back, just go on a Netflix, look up Oliver Stone, and we can take it back to Ike, Dwight Eisenhower, and the campaign that was put together for him was almost the exact same thing as it was for Trump. And I don't care if you voted for Trump or you didn't vote for him. I don't give a crap. To me, it doesn't matter who you voted for. I wish we would go back to the Greatest Generation position in your voting is that you go and you vote and you keep it to your damn self. Okay. I didn't have a problem with that. We need to go back to that. Because, you know, not everyone's a political expert just because the season's here. So, you know, we have all that. It's the same shit every single run, you know. But when you go back to school, Big Jack, if you don't even listen, if you don't pay attention, if you just show up to school every day from kindergarten to senior year, take your one history elective when you go to college, because history is an elective unless you decide you want to go into history, politics. What are the things that you could take away from social studies and history throughout your elementary education, Big Jack? Is that basically three things happened. Three things. Because, you know, unless you take world history, but American history, three things happened. Columbus discovered America. A lot of people think he's a Spaniard. And I had a smart, really smart friend, super high IQ, who was totally arguing with me and did not believe that Columbus was from Italy. And then when she found out, she just felt so stupid. So that was the greatest thing. I was like, yeah, you may beat me at words at friends literally every time we play, but at least I knew Columbus was from Italy and not Spain. Okay, so Columbus discovered America, number one. What happened next? Then the slaves came, so we had that. You know, that plays into the Civil War. And then we had World War II with, you know, the Germans killing all the Jews, or the Nazis. I don't want to say Germans, all the Nazis. Okay, those are the three biggest takeaways that you will learn over and over and over again. So for you to not know that that happened and to stick your foot in your mouth and to quote Hitler, I mean, you had to be digging and you had to be reading. You know, I don't know if the owner sent out flyers or, you know, some interpersonal stuff, you know, inner office, and he pulled that from there. But, I mean, this whole situation, and then, you know, like you said, getting invited to Auschwitz and all that. I don't know. Good luck, but I wouldn't suggest it. And I think it's taking off, you know.
Yeah, well, you know, Julian Edelman, who has also invited Jackson to join him to go to a Jewish museum with him. So he's getting a lot of invites.
Yeah, well, you know, in this day and age, and especially what's going on in the world, and for so many people to be standing up and saying that it's only one group of people that have been, you know, what's the word? Oppressed or any of that, you really need to open your eyes and to see what actually happened. You know, I know of firsthand evidence of men, women, and more it's just men, some women. I didn't really see any children in these pictures, but men standing naked in front of a ditch waiting to get shot and just not even buried, just dumped in a hole, in a ditch.
Right.
Literally a ditch. Like I have in my front yard, but a lot deeper because you got fill, you know, thousands of bodies. I have the evidence of a room that's no taller than 9 feet where bodies are piled on top of each other about 6 feet high. Like this happened. I've seen it. You know, I was in D.C. I went to the Holocaust Museum. I'd never been to a place where silence was the only thing that you could hear because of you're so just overwhelmed and, you know, taken back. So, I think it's a good thing, and I hope he gets a lot out of it, and I hope, you know, things start to change. But, I mean, to kind of make those comments that you didn't really know, I think it's kind of dumb. But give me like 5-10 minutes, I'll be right back.
All right, as Dan wanders off to do whatever, let's see, what can we talk about? Well, we're on football. I did see that Greg Olsen, now he's now a member of the Seattle Seahawks. He has signed an agreement. Let me see if they have the network here. He has signed what is a futures contract, so he will be a television analyst when his career is over. Now, I don't know how many more years Olsen plans on playing, But yeah, it's it was confirmed that he signed. He signed with Fox Sports. So you know, we'll have to see how you know, how this works out for him. He is 35, and he is just on a 1-year deal with Seattle. So who knows? Again, how long he'll play, or if he's got another year or two, we'll have to see how that goes for Olsen. But you know, hey, he's got a job waiting for him. And if you did watch any of the 5 weeks of the XFL, he did commentary. You know, he was an analyst on those games, and I thought he did pretty well. So you know, this should be a good move for him. And you know, we'll see how things go. But yeah, I thought that was kind of interesting that you know he's gonna walk off the field and into the booth. Obviously not with the fanfare of a Tony Romo, but I thought he was a very good analyst, and you know that'll be cool. You know, that'll be nice to see. And I do wonder. You know, I know when he first retired, you know, Jay Cutler signed with CBS to do games. But then they let him out of his contract to go back and play that last year with the Dolphins. And obviously he went on to, you know, fame as a reality show star, even though, you know, originally he wasn't supposed to be the star of the show. But from what I've heard, he was the best thing about that show with him and his wife, Kristen Cavallari. I can honestly say I've never watched it, so I don't know. I did see they were showing quite a few of the highlights from just a few weeks ago where Cutler apparently had something killing his chickens where he lives in Tennessee. So he was on the hunt for that. And I guess apparently he finally caught it, turned out to be a raccoon, but that was some, he played that up for some pretty interesting Instagram drama, which I am not on. So, but yeah, I wonder if, you know, Cutler will ever get the opportunity to possibly, you know, jump back into the booth and, you know, see if it kind of works out for him. But I don't know. So, but anyways, I don't know if I mentioned or not, we have our money league draft going on now. These guys are all, I'm going to describe them as big shots or whatever. So it's very difficult to get them all together in a room at one time to actually draft. So they started the draft, I think it was Wednesday or Thursday of last week. And we only need 14 players this year because they changed the style of the draft to fit what was going on. So you would think, okay, you know, no problem. We're rolling along. You should be pretty close to being done. And I guess technically we are pretty close to being done. We're on round 12. So we have three more picks to go before this fiasco kind of ends for us. And it's just, I don't know. It's always interesting dealing with these guys. They're obviously a lot more fun to deal with in person. I get a kick out of that when, you know, dealing with them in person. But yeah, I kind of wonder, you know, as I sit there and it's like, what's taking him so long to pick? Why is this taking so long? So it just makes me goofy. But yeah, Mr. Fantasy and I have 11 players. So we need the 12th round, 13th round, and 14th round. So, and we'll be all set to go, and we'll see how it works out. But you know, I think our team is coming together okay. It's always iffy on, you know, how it goes or who does what and all that other fun stuff. But
aside from the extremely long time and effort that it takes, not you, of course, but the other 13 or so many teams What has been your experience? How is this one different so far compared to obviously years previous?
Yeah, well, you know, obviously the whole situation is just a complete, you know, cluster with everything that's going on. One of the things that surprised me, and you and I actually talked about this on the air, and I had to, even actually before we came on today, I was telling you some of the issue I had with Mr. Fantasy was everybody still had their starting pitchers ranked really high. And I was just quite surprised by, you know, the way these guys were, you know, going out, because I think it was I think it ended up being the second or third round when the first starting pitcher came off the board. And then, you know, once one guy came off the board, it started to follow and everybody made a little bit of a run on them. And I was just like, why are they, you know, you're chasing guys that are basically going to play five or six games for you if you're lucky. You know, so I don't understand what the rush was to get him, you know, get them. And luckily, I convinced Mr. Fantasy to go the other way, and we ended up with the two best relievers from a rating site that he paid to join. They're not a sponsor of the show, so I'm not giving them any pub. But if they'd like to sponsor the show, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. And, you know, they we took the best two guys they had listed. As of now, only one or only two other relievers have went. So I'm trying to convince him to take one more guy to put on our bench. You know, and we're only starting three pitchers a week this year, and I'm thinking, in all honesty, we run three relievers out there every week and just dominate the saves category. They're going to get the strikeouts. They're going to get the good, you know, strikeout per nine inning totals. It seems like a good strategy, but he's under the impression that we're going to need that one starter. So we'll see how it works out. But yeah, I was just shocked by the fact that guys were like, oh man, I got to get that big name starting pitcher. You know, and I think there was a guy who took two or three in a row. You know, so obviously, I mean, when you look at his team, and I want to see if I can find it here. You look at his team, you're going to go, oh my God, you know, look at this team. This team is just incredible. But then when you start to kind of add it up, you know, it's just going to be, oh, okay, well, how often did they play for him? So, yeah, here it is. One guy has Zach Greinke, Jacob DeGrom, and Walker Buehler.
Ooh, see, you know, and that's where, you know, mentally for me, knowing your league, I don't obviously not having been in it, and nor would I ever want to join it because I don't know that I can handle the draft, to be honest with you. No, I'm totally serious. I mean, you know, if somehow it was you and I, I'd probably just say, like, you know, here's the guys I really like. Good luck with the draft. I could not do it. But the understanding of only being able to start so many pitchers a week is what kind of throws me off. So, because when I think about it, I'm like, well, you know, Zach Greinke, for all intents and purposes, I forgot where he's in Houston. And I don't know what Houston's MO is going to be for the season, but you know, I don't think one starting pitcher would be bad to have a guy like him, in the sense that maybe he goes out there 4 days a week, or I'm sorry, for four or five innings start, and maybe is almost guaranteed to be in there twice a week. Then I don't think it's a bad idea to have at least one, you know, and it's just going to be such a different animal this year. I know you said you changed our innings limits, but
yeah,
I still don't even know how, you know, to compare the two. Because, I mean, even if you go off of last year's innings, a relief pitcher that's going to be in there a lot, you know, is he really going to help you, you know, for our league, get those innings that we need?
Yeah, because, you know, like it's really interesting, you know, with the site they use is CBS Sports. So, you know, they put out projections for starting pitchers and stuff, but I'm really wondering, like, what their projections are, because here's what they got. Like, your guy Jake Odorizzi is still on the board, and we almost took him a few rounds ago, but Mr. Fantasy likes Sonny Gray, so we went with him. But, like, this year, they're projecting Jake Odorizzi to have 6 wins. Dan, is he going to get 6 starts? And how the hell is he going to get the 6 wins when there's very little chance that he's going to pitch 5 innings his first couple outings?
Well, and is this the season where pitcher wins doesn't really matter? And you know, we finally, the sabermetricians finally get their, you know, get their way, and we eliminate wins and losses.
Yeah, they're going to be jumping up and down with the fact that they're not going to have to deal with the win, you know, because the win isn't going to matter this year. You know, unless magically these pitchers are a lot more than what everybody's talking about them being, but, you know, with as careful as they are with these guys, you know, I mean, can you honestly run them out there for 6 innings with the training camp we've just had? I don't think, you know, teams would be willing to take that risk. You know, and obviously we're going to find out here in a couple of weeks, but it does, you know, again, I mean, if you get 5 innings out of your starter, his first start out, that should be considered a fantastic start.
Well, you know, and I'm surprised of all teams, the Dodgers in particular, you know, are still claiming that they're going to go with a 5-man rotation. I mean, you've got the additional players to use for, what do you call it? You know, the roster spots. It's no longer the 25. I forgot what the final count was, but you know, you've got rid of that. So, you know, why are we still talking about having 5-man rotations if you don't even plan on having your pitchers go a full, you know, 5 1/3? Why even have a starting rotation, so to speak?
Yeah.
This shirt is going the wrong way. So I got tennis.
You can hear that, I take it.
Yes. I can't hear what you're saying, but I can hear it talking. So, but, yeah, well, you know, I mean, I'm honestly surprised there wasn't a team out there that kind of tried to use the strategies the Rockies applied in the minors. You know, Dan, I mean, imagine if you had a setup where you could run John Lester out there 4 innings, follow him up with Yu Darvish for 4 innings, and Kimbrel come in the ninth. You know, and then the next day you run Kyle Hendricks out there for 4 innings, you run Jose Quintana out there for 4 innings, and here comes Kimbrel again in the ninth. You know, I mean, you would probably need, you know, you'd have to find that 6th starter to pair up with, you know, Kyle Hendricks. You know, maybe Tyler Chatwood could handle it, since it would be a shorter inning limit. But I'm a little surprised that we're not going to see a team, you know, especially a team that's going to be looked at as a non-playoff contender, like, you know, the Mariners or the Royals or the Pirates or, you know, a team like that, you know, try to pair up a couple starters. And then, you know, use a shorter rotation. I mean, you know, if you could get 6 guys, could your starters come back on that 4th day of rest if they know they're only going to go 4 innings?
Well, and that's confusing.
Right. You know, but I mean, because when you think about it, I mean, you know, if John Lester went out and did 4 and then Yu Darvish did 4, could they come back then, you know, with just 2 days rest and pitch 4 more again?
Well, and that's the thing I'm wondering about the most, is because according to Joe Madden, that would not work, okay? Because Kyle Hendricks is taken out in the top of the fifth inning because he gave up a double, and it's 4-1. You know, it's 5-3, and the Cubs are up, and he's taken out. So when we go by the model that we've watched, that still doesn't work because, you know, today he throws the 4 1/3 inning, but he's still not scheduled to start until the fifth day. You know, so today is Monday. Till, you know, Saturday or Sunday.
Right. You know, so yeah, because I mean, you know, and that would be the one thing there, because I don't think there would be a team that could find 8 starters to pull it off. You know, you're not going to get 8 good enough starters to get through this. 6 I could see being possible, because we've heard teams talk for a long time about going to a 6-man rotation anyways. So, I just wonder, you know, if there's a team innovative enough to input this plan, and, you know, if there's a team willing to take the risk to try it, because I'm sure they would get dogged by whoever, you know, but I mean, it could free up some roster space for you. You wouldn't have to carry as many pitchers. You know, and I mean, what's the difference than this and having an opener in Tampa Bay, which I'll be interested to know if they're going to use this year.
Kind of going along with that too, though. What was I going to say? Why is nobody thinking about the Japanese style and maybe extending their pitchers and only pitching once a week?
And obviously, you know, maybe somebody is, obviously you and I don't know what's going on. And especially if you're ever going to try something like this, boy, this is the year to do it, isn't it? With everything the way it's just kind of up in arms. You know, I mean, what's going to hurt if you decide, okay, well, you know, this Monday is your day, Tuesday is your day, you know, depending on how the schedule is set up, you know, this is your day to pick. Here you go. Go game. Whatever you can do, go ahead. We'll see you next week.
So, I mean, there's just multiple possibilities. And I get the fact that, you know, creatures of habit that Major League Baseball players are, I mean, they're way off. You know, they're way off from what they're used to doing. So I think they're all going to be kind of screwed up for a while. But where's the value in this season, though? Because they're having this modified quick spring training, and then they're going into a season where it's going to take them a couple weeks to get acclimated. So you're going to have probably a good 2 weeks of mediocre baseball, and then they'll all heat up, you know, come in the third or fourth week, and then the next thing you know, and, you know, the crappiest team, the Tigers, had a roster full of youngsters that nobody had enough time to prepare for, and their run wasn't fair.
Yeah.
You know, are we gonna hear that? Are we gonna hear that complaint? You know.
Hey, you know, we might. Yeah, you know, there's gonna be somebody out there complaining about something. It's not gonna be this or that kind of straight line. There's going to be constant complaints. My guess is most of them are gonna be from the players. I can say that most of them are gonna be from the media, followed closely by the players. It's just kind of like, okay. it'll turn out to be interesting. But yeah, that was, like I said, that was kind of my takeaway was, you know, and you do wonder, you know, these guys have been playing fantasy baseball for so long in this league that, you know, it's just ingrained, and, you know, the second round came around, and that guy saw, you know, oh, my God, Max Scherzer's still here? Why is he still here in the second round? You know, it was just there and a natural reaction, not thinking, oh, he's probably going to make five starts. If I'm lucky, I'm going to get six starts out of him. You know, they just thought, oh, look at this guy, I'm going to win. You know, look at this feel I'm getting. You know, oh, my God, you know, it's the fourth round, and here's Walker Buehler. Why is Walker Buehler here? Well, there's obviously a reason. So.
Yeah. Well, I mean, even the regular portion is not very easy to determine either, because I don't know. I don't really have a total system yet, but, I mean, I try to get the perfect balance, so to speak. You know, where you see a lot of guys in the first couple of rounds just attack starting pitching. And, you know, I've got a couple guys that, you know, I mean, you know who I look at the time, but, you know, sometimes I don't even know who I'm looking at. And, I just try to balance it with, you know, first baseman and pitchers, right? That's how you do it. Or is there a new position?
No. That's Mr. Fantasy. So, no, see, we're okay with this year because they don't have any specific positions, so everybody's a utility guy. So, like, I think we've drafted three first basemen, but we're okay because they're just technically all utility guys this year.
Well, that works.
Yeah. You know, I mean, that's perfect for him because, you know, then he can draft all the first basemen. And I just realized we actually have four. We've drafted four first basemen so far this year. We've drafted Paul Goldschmidt, Pete Alonso, Josh Bell, and Reese Hoskins.
Wow.
So we still have a couple more picks, so we might end up with some more. You know, and obviously, you know, the situation, you know, first basemen are the big power hitters a lot of times. So, you know, you're looking for those home runs is how you end up with so many.
Yeah, now, when you compare the two leagues, how do you feel about it? I mean, you know, the free league that we put together, you know, you can definitely go in on Sunday, set your lineup for the week, and for the most part, you'll be good, barring any, you know, injuries, blah, blah, blah. But compared to your league, with the way it's set up, I kind of got the feeling that it's for guys who like baseball but aren't all that involved. You know what I mean? Like, this is an easier version because, I mean, you have to think with us.
Yeah, it's designed for the guys who like playing fantasy baseball but don't have the time to do the daily league. So you go in Sunday night, Monday morning, you set your lineup, and you don't have to worry about it. And then you go back the next week and you see how you did. So
it's more
you
of
know,
a
and
fantasy
I, you know,
football.
You know, the majority of these guys have high-profile jobs. I don't know if I mentioned on the air to you, you know, but the one is like a partner in a law firm. You know, so obviously he's busy enough. You know, I believe that just about, you know, you could go through every major Chicago sports team, Cubs, Sox, you know, White Sox, Bears, and somebody in that league has season tickets to the game. So, you know, if they ever wanted to go to a game, they just talk to each other. You know, and if you're not using your ticket, you know, you just go. But, yeah, I guarantee you that somewhere through that mix, somebody will have season tickets to one of those teams. So, you know, it's humorous because, you know, you listen to them and, you know, they're just talking about all this stuff that, you know, I could never afford if I wanted to. But, you know, somehow I ended up in there.
You gotta squeeze the lemon, right?
Well, you know, I think I told you the one guy was trying to sell his house, and one of the biggest assets he had was people wanted to look at it because he lived next door to Michael Jordan.
Wow.
So people love to come and walk through the house. Even if they couldn't afford it, they just wanted to, you know, hey, Michael Jordan lives next door. Okay, cool. But yeah, that's, you know, that's just kind of how it is. I'm the I don't know what the heck you would describe me as. I'm the Section 8 guy, I guess, who just got in.
Oh.
Well. But yeah, well, you know, like I was really jealous of the one guy. He did so well that he was able to retire at 50. So yeah, he's been retired for about 10 years now. Him and his wife, they made so much money that they were both able to retire at 50 years old. So I hate him. Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's understandable.
But yeah, you know, and it's kind of weird because, like, you know, when you go to these things, and I know I told you before, there's the one guy who always has the new Cubs jersey. When the Cubs acquire a new player, he's the first guy to get the jersey. So, but
they
some of them, I mean,
right?
You, yeah, I think so. But some of those guys, you know, like you'll be listening to them talk, and you're just kind of like, this guy knows absolutely nothing about sports. And then some of the other ones are, you know, freaking geniuses. So yeah, it's an eclectic mix of people. You know, it's just very odd that they all ended up in one group, and this has been their group for a long time. You know, pretty much the only way you get out is you die. And unfortunately, we've had that happen a time or two since I've been in this league. But yeah, that seems to be the only out.
Yeah, I mean, it is interesting, you know, when I joined the firm I'm with now, not a law firm, but that's the word I'm supposed to use when we talk about them. They're not a company, the firm. You know, when they did the Fantasy Football League, I literally started probably a week before that. And they had some dropouts, so, you know, right when I came in, they're like, hey, you want to join the league? I'm like, sure. But I was kind of surprised to see that everyone joined. I mean, you know, we had a girl who just joined us, you know, from India, and she jumped all over it. I'm like, oh.
And then
you know, everyone, you know, she probably, I don't know, that I crapped out in that league. So, you know, I think she beat me. I gave up real early on. It's one of those ESPN leagues. I'm not a fan of their system. So
maybe she got confused with soccer because she's from India.
Yeah. Well, no. See, here's the difference between her and I is that she has a statistics background. So, you know, you don't really need to know. You don't need to know sports. You just create some formulas and bam, you're kicking everyone's ass before they even know what happened. So, I mean, I can't see, you know, the different points of life or areas of life all joining, but I mean, it's fantasy sports, right? Everyone wants to win.
Yeah. You know, and that's the thing. I mean, even, you know, even though we're in a free league, I still want to win.
Yeah. Granted, I don't know if that's ever going to happen for me again in football, or I'm sorry, basketball or hockey, but I don't know.
Yeah, but you know, while we're on baseball, I don't think we ever discussed too much about the fact that, you know, your girl J-Lo and her guy A-Rod are, you know, they have a group trying to buy the New York Mets, and I thought today that they got some more a little more firepower behind them. They now have three NFL players in their group, Dan. DeMarco Murray, who was the 2014 Offensive Player of the Year with the Cowboys. Travis Kelce, the, you know, the Chiefs tight end and reality TV star. And then our own Brian Urlacher, Dan, have now joined the group. Apparently, they submitted a bid of $1.7 billion, but they've been outbid by Steve Cohen, who they describe as a hedge fund billionaire. He bid $2 billion. So, you know, while they're still in the room, nothing's set in stone. And, you know, they haven't mentioned when they're going to actually make this sale, but that's where we're at. Now. I just thought it was interesting, the kind of group they put together there to buy the team.
Yeah, well, you know, there's two parts to buying the team. You need that faith, especially in New York, you know, and I think it all goes back to, you know, the Cubs when they were sold, They don't want you to. They don't want you to know that it's all political. You know, it has nothing to do with anything other than politics. And that worked here in Chicago. And then you look at the Miami Marlins kind of take on it, and we don't know the political ties, but you know, that's the stuff they don't want you to know about, right? So they want to put faces to that name, to that team, you know, so they have that out in front. So when they make the back end moves, you're not paying attention to it, you know, kind of like when I was told I was wearing a foil hat, because I said the Cubs won't spend a dollar till their lawsuit's over with. And then I read an article in the business section, not the sports section, because, you know, that's where you report the business end of it. And all of a sudden, the lawsuit goes away. So the Cubs sign a deal with John Lester, ABC, Jason, you know what I mean? It just keeps rolling in. And, you know, so you got to wonder, it's not so much the fluff, which is A-Rod, J-Lo, Urlacher, and those guys. But you got to wonder who's to know who's going to get the bid, whether it's 1.7 or 2 billion. Obviously, you know, you want to go with the highest bidder. But, you know, for the Mets, who's more politically involved in that portion of New York? And having a hedge fund billionaire kind of get into the mix with this, you know, is you're going to have to check a lot of things. You know, you've got to go to the SEC, make sure he's got nothing attached to his name that might show any illegal accusation. Because don't forget, they were all screwed up, you know, not because of Bobby Bonilla's 30 years and $1 million a year, but it was being a part of the Bernie Madoff Ponzi scheme. So you don't want to be involved in that again. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see which way they go and who actually gets the team. The fact, to me, when I hear that Brian Urlacher and, you know, these other guys are involved with it, it's kind of telling me I'm leaning towards the fact that they're not going to get the bid. You know, they're not going to be picked, and that they're trying to sway the public opinion by putting on names like that. I mean, what better name to have than Travis Kelce and Brian Urlacher? Yeah, and who was the other guy, the other football player? I forgot his name already.
DeMarco Murray.
I don't remember a whole lot about him. He's a running back, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, you're... I don't know. You're trying to go after putting yourself in the right spot, but is that really what's going to work?
Yeah, I mean, I would just be more interested to know if A-Rod is going to run the team like Peter, you know. You know, would he step in as, you know, general manager or president or whatever, you know, they got going on there?
Well, then you know, and I'm sure this would be a better fund for A-Rod and his future and his expensive wife. But how does that affect his current situation? You know, we wouldn't see him on TV anymore, would we?
Well, you know, I guess that is interesting. I guess
conflict
he could still do games, right? I mean, as long as he didn't do Mets games?
I don't know how that would work, to be honest with you.
Yeah,
I mean, he's an analyst, and, you know, it's not like, obviously, he wouldn't be on TV divulging boardroom meeting stuff. You know, I think that would be some kind of, you know, it's not like Jay-Z owning a basketball team and then starting a talent agency.
Right.
You know, that one, I definitely understand that part. But, you know, I don't know how that would work, to be honest. And the other part of it, though, is I would miss it I enjoy Alex, oddly. I never thought I would say that. I enjoy having him on TV. I think we could get rid of Matt Vasgersian or whoever the other guy was. But, you know, I'm ready to roll full-time with Jessica Mendoza.
So, yeah, and I know there was some talk if she was going to be around. I forgot. Didn't she get herself in the doghouse or something? I can never remember anymore. So, you know, it's just it's so difficult to keep track of who's in trouble and who's not in trouble anymore for what they did. But
yeah, they're in trouble.
So that apparently, you know, that's just kind of how it goes. But yeah, I would like to know, you know, like I said, what, you know, what Alex's role will be. You know, is he, you know, just a name on the ownership list, or is he gonna, you know, is he going to actually be somebody, you know, that is functional in the day-to-day operation of the team?
Yeah, well, you know, and that's the other thing. You can slap on Brian Urlacher's name, DeMarco Murray, Travis Kelce, Jay-Z. Well, he can't. He's talent agency. To hell, Barack Obama, any other famous New Yorker, Rudy Giuliani, if you want it. You know, you can start adding names to it. But that doesn't mean anything except for the fact that their group reached out to, you know, let's just go to 100 millionaires, right? They need $1 million from 100 people or however that goes. And, you know, Brian Urlacher just, you know, rolled out his sock drawer and pulled out $100,000 or $1 million and was like, here, you know, I want a, you know, such and such return on my investment. So when they start putting out there that these names are involved, it really doesn't mean anything. You know, I mean, Travis Kelce and the other two could have their own investment group together where collectively the three of them invested $1 million. It doesn't mean they're going to be making decisions or even standing out there promoting the team. You know, it's just kind of adding fluff to it and getting people excited about it. And then, you know, then they'll have something to fall back on when they, you know, when they don't get the team.
So, yeah, you know, and again, that's the thing, you know, you kind of look at is, okay, well, we've got all these names, but, you know, none, you know, like, obviously you're not turning over a baseball operation to Travis Kelce or Brian Urlacher or DeMarco Murray. You know, I mean, they're not going to be making baseball decisions. It's just the name value on the ownership application that makes it look good, right? So, you know, those, and, you know, those are the kind of things you're looking for. I mean, when you're putting a group together, you need these kind of things. You know, it's kind of like, well, I've got to, you know, I got to have some kind of backbone here to help me out. And, you know, there you go. I think it would be humorous that a former Yankee end up owning the Mets, but I guess it's no different than Jeter owning the Marlins.
Yeah, I think it would, to me, it would be funnier having J-Lo involved with owning a sports franchise. But is that where he got his money?
There you go. All right. The news is that Daniel has taken off. I would have done tomorrow at 4:30 to do this again. But one more moment. If you want to be at sportsmedia.com, head on over there, check out the show. I'm on the bottom of there. Hit the link. Follow me on the Facebook page and keep going to like. The most of it is Twitter feed, which is at sportsmedia.com. And of course, you can find the link on Twitter if you'd like to look at that. That's cool. And if you stop by and listen to the live conversation on the app, don't forget, the podcast is available for you to listen to anytime you want at coolin.com.
Sportstimeradio.com.